don't do much writing when it comes to stories about my own personal life, so bear with me as I take you on this weird, scary, and absolutely awful experience that was my life for 2 months in 2015. The best place to get started is by giving a little background. My two friends and I decided we wanted to rent a house in LA since we all got jobs in the area and had dreamt of living together after we all got out of college. We got a pretty decent price for rent that was split between all of us, but also thought that if we had one more person as a roommate, the rent would be perfect. It was a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom house, so we had the space, and my friend Molly said she knew someone who needed a place anyways, so it would be perfect. We all met her and got along great in the short amount of time we spent with her, so we all agreed it would be a good fit between the four of us. Our new roommate's name was Dove, and for the first month that she lived with us, she was amazing. She did her share of the housework, and honestly, for the most part, she stayed pretty much to herself. She never had people over and never complained and was generally one of the sweetest girls I'd ever met. We all used to talk about how lucky we were to find a roommate as great as Dove. That was until she met the man that would become her boyfriend, Ty. The first time she brought Ty over to the house, the three of us were shocked. He was covered in tattoos, including his face, and he reeked of marijuana and just had the worst attitude of anyone we'd all collectively had ever met. Dove, on the other hand, either seemed not to notice or didn't really care. She took him into her room, and thankfully we didn't see either of them for the rest of the night. The next morning we woke up to our TV, vintage stereo system, and our freaking microwave completely gone. Obviously, Ty had done this since he was the only person in the house besides the four of us girls, and we were livid. We banged on Dove's door until she came out and confronted her about it. Instead of denying it like we expected, she told us that she'd actually just given him the stuff. He said he needed it, and she just told him to take it. She didn't see the problem and got mad at us for yelling at her for allowing him to just steal our things. She said she'd replace what was taken, but that was never really the point. We decided to forgive her, but told her if she was going to continue living with us, she couldn't have Ty over again since he was clearly terrible. She didn't like that, but agreed. A week went by and nothing of significance happened. Then one random Tuesday night, when the three of us were watching a movie while Dove was out, we heard the door open and, to our shock, in walked Dove, holding the hand of Ty. She walked right by us like we told her the week before meant nothing to her and slammed the door when they got into her room. We decided on spending the night in the living room to possibly prevent him from taking anything else, but not even that worked. On his way out, Dove told him he could take whatever he wanted from the fridge. He grabbed a grocery bag and practically acted like he was shopping as he took most of what was in there as we yelled at Dove that he was not allowed to take our stuff again. They ignored us like we weren't even there. Neither of them would even look in our direction. Ty just walked out of the door, and we stared as Dove made her way back to her bedroom, saying nothing, as we asked her to explain what was going on with her lately. It didn't take long for us to realize Ty had gotten her hooked on pills and was just her hookup. It's why she never said no to him. To her, it seemed like getting what she wanted was all that really mattered. We watched for months as she deteriorated in front of our eyes, and the three of us had to move everything into our bedrooms to make sure it wouldn't get stolen in the night and installed locks on all of our doors since Dove and Ty constantly had random druggies come over to our house. No matter what we did or how much we begged, Dove refused to see things logically or from our point of view, so we did what any sane person would do in a situation like this. We waited for Ty and his friends to come over, and we promptly called the police. They told us to leave the house before they got there, and we went to our neighbor's house and watched out the window as an actual SWAT team arrived and raided the place. Ty and a couple of his friends were arrested for multiple different things involving drug possession and sales, which we did mention, but we never expected this kind of reaction from the police. Dove was let go since Ty took the blame for everything. We were relieved. We thought maybe this would mean that Dove could finally kick this habit, get some help, and just be done with that monster. They did end up searching the whole house, including our bedrooms, and the place was a disaster by the time we were allowed back in. Dove was irate. She screamed at us and told us that we ruined her life. We tried telling her that she needed to get help, but she refused and said that she'd be moving out as soon as possible since we had apparently betrayed her. We felt bad for her and the situation that she was in, but We were all kind of relieved, too. Now, a couple of weeks after Ty's arrest, we were all hanging out in the living room, not expecting what was about to happen. All of a sudden, the door burst open, and in came four guys wearing blue and black ski masks. They ran over to us as we were screaming and grabbed the three of us as one went into Dove's room and pulled her out as she was kicking and screaming. They dragged us outside, put us in a van that was waiting outside with the driver as the rest of them piled into a car behind us. I was positive the neighbors had heard what was happening, and all I could do was hope that one of them had called the police. Once we were in the van, one of the men took our phones and told us all to be quiet. He drove for at least an hour with no words spoken until the van pulled over. They opened the door and threw us out. We were standing in the middle of a dirt field as they tied our hands behind our backs. Dove seemed the calmest as we all were beginning to beg for our lives. They told us we shouldn't have ratted out Ty and that we'd be paying for it with our lives. We all started to cry and beg and plead, but Dove, she seemed like she was laughing, and she started cracking up and calling us babies for crying. She told the guys to untie her hands and that it was a funny joke, but that she was over it and just let us go. Instead of doing what she said, one of the guys just decked her really hard in the face and told her to shut up. And she hit the ground hard and then started crying herself. I actually believed then and there that I was going to die. These men were going to murder us and that would be it. I was just hoping that they'd find my family so my family could maybe get some closure from my death. And those were the thoughts that I was thinking. Begging wasn't doing anything. We watched in horror as the men who had taken us began digging these large holes just in front of us, and I was sure that that's where we would be buried. Just as I had started to come to terms with the fact that my life would be ending that night, in the distance I could see flashing lights speeding towards us, and I burst into tears. We were saved. The men tried to run, but it was a big dirt field and there was nowhere for them to go. The police officers got over to us, untied our hands, and thankfully they were able to apprehend all four men, and we were escorted to the hospital. We didn't have any serious injuries, so we were let go that night. We all eventually went to my mom's house just outside of LA and waited to hear from the police about what was being done to ensure these men stayed in jail. They were all charged with kidnapping and assault, as well as conspiracy to murder. All four of them ratted on each other as well as Ty, and their sentence ranged from, and I kid you not, 17 to 25 years, and we were glad this meant none would have the chance to finish what they started anytime soon. I guess that night was a wake-up call for Dove, as she was also arrested and tried for being an accomplice. All of my roommates have kept in contact, except obviously Dove, but we agreed we didn't want to live in that house after that happened. I still live with my mom. Molly and our friend Jenna live together in a small apartment in LA, and we all get together from time to time for lunch. I have PTSD from that night and still get nightmares about it. I'm just glad I have my parents to help me get through it. And I urge anyone to be there for their friends if they notice red flags alluding to drug abuse. Even if they say they aren't ready to quit, sometimes just knowing there is a person that cares means more than you'll ever know. I hate dogs. Please don't be mad at me when I tell you that. I'm not some psycho who thinks dogs don't have souls or they're evil. I actually used to love dogs. I was so excited when I moved in with my buddy who had four of them, so you can imagine I was a little disappointed when he told me not to interact with them. He said that they were only tame around him and his girlfriend, and if anyone else came near them, they'd quote-unquote freak out. It was a little scary to think about four very large dogs who hated me living only a wall away, but my friend was usually pretty good about locking his door when he left or putting them out in the backyard if he was going to be gone longer than a day or so. One summer, my roommate said he and his girlfriend were going to visit his family a couple of states away and that he'd be leaving the dogs in the backyard for a few nights. He had automatic feeders and the dogs had access to this weird pedo-activated watering system, so there was no need for me to go out and give them anything. The backyard was pretty huge and he assured me that they'd be fine and out of my way all weekend. I felt safe knowing that they'd be out of the house. No one was able to control those dogs except my roommate, so keeping them away from all the people while he was gone was definitely the right move. The day came when my roommate and his girlfriend left. I woke up and went downstairs for some coffee and looked out the sliding glass door at the four dogs as they stood there staring at me. Now, these were all huge German Shepherds, so seeing them growl at me but not being able to do anything about it kind of made me laugh a little bit. I went through my regular morning routine and got ready for work. I left the rest of the day and came home around 6 p.m. after going to the gym. As I entered the kitchen, I noticed something was very wrong. There was glass all over the kitchen floor, and the sliding glass door was shattered. And that's when I started to hear the growling coming from behind me. I didn't even have to turn around to figure out what the sound was coming from. I did what any smart person would do and ran as fast as I could up the stairs into my room. The whole time I was running, it felt like that dog was going to latch onto my leg at any moment. I slammed the door shut behind me and grabbed at my pocket to get my phone out and call 911, except it wasn't there. The pocket was empty. I wanted to cry when I realized that I'd left my phone in my car and my gym bag. I felt so stupid. And you're probably wondering why I didn't just call for help outside the window. Well, I would have if we didn't live a mile from the next house. My roommate insisted on living in the country so his dogs could have a big yard to run around. I was really regretting moving in as I sat there wondering what the hell I was going to do to get myself out of that situation. I didn't even know where the other dogs were. I had only seen one when I made my way upstairs, and I guess I could have overlooked them in the panic. Maybe the others were chasing me too. I leaned against the door and sat there for a few seconds, before bang. Something huge and heavy was smashing itself against the door. Growling came soon after, and I quickly realized the dogs were actually trying to get into my room. I didn't know if they were rabid or something, but I couldn't just sit there and wait for them to get to me. With the progress they were making on the door, I knew that they'd get to me at some point. The banging didn't last long before the scratching started. It was even louder than the banging and would quickly grant them access into the room if they continued to tear at that door. It was clearly very flimsy. I ran into the connecting bathroom and closed the door behind me. Listening to them scratch and gnaw their way through my door was mental torture. Getting ripped apart by dogs was not the way I wanted to leave this world. There isn't a single moment in my life where I wished I had access to a landline until that moment just then. I heard the door finally giving way, and the dogs finally entered my room as they growled and barked. It was the kind of growl where, even without seeing it, you could tell that their teeth were showing. I still couldn't tell how many dogs were out there. I just knew that it was more than one. I tried my hardest not to move or make a sound, but the sweat on my hands made a squeaking sound when they slid across the floor as I tried to get up. My heart dropped and I knew I was screwed. They started their assault on my bathroom door and I had no choice but to get into my bathroom counter and climb through the very small rectangular window about 3 feet above the sink. I squeezed myself through and laid on the roof out of sight of the dogs in case they got into the bathroom as well. Hours went by before they got in. I felt safe though, and this was the moment I realized that I had an injury on my left calf. The adrenaline must have worn off because the pain was getting worse by the second. I pulled up the leg of my pants and revealed a pretty severe bite along the back of my leg, and I kept wondering how long I didn't notice when that happened, but there was no changing anything then. Thankfully, the bleeding had mostly stopped, but I still wrapped it up with the flannel that I was wearing. I didn't need it exposed to whatever was on that roof. It was obviously the only choice I had was to wait on the roof for my roommate to get home a couple of days from then. I couldn't jump down because the dogs would get me. If I did jump down, I wouldn't be able to drive away because my car keys were downstairs in the house and I wasn't going to risk going inside again. I was safe on the roof and that was all that mattered. I didn't have food, but thankfully there was a spigot only a few feet from where I was sitting. It was a considerably large house and the spigot was installed to easily hose off the roof if needed. I never knew what that was necessary for, but I of course was grateful to have access to water for the next couple of days that I guess I would be spending on that roof. The hunger wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. The worst part was hearing the dogs make their way through the house at night looking for me, and thank God they never found me though. My friend came back Monday morning and was shocked to find me on the roof. He gathered his dogs in his bedroom and helped me back into the house. When he found out what happened, he begged me not to tell the police or animal control. But I had no choice. One of his dogs had bitten me and they were so vicious that if they ever got out, I had no doubt that they probably would kill somebody. I went to the hospital and was treated for the bite wound, and I was advised to get the rabies shot treatments and wasn't too happy about that, but it was smart, so I went along with it. The dogs were impounded, and after evaluation it was ruled that they would be humanely euthanized. My roommate blamed me for having his dogs killed, but I can't say I regret their outcome. I feel like lives may have been saved by them being euthanized. I try not to blame the dogs since I've known so many amazing shepherds in my life, but I do have this trauma. It turns out the sliding glass door had been broken in by a tree, pushed down by the strong winds earlier in the day after I'd left for work. Most large dogs scare me now, and I can say that I don't particularly like dogs in general anymore because of this incident. It's disappointing, but oh well. I got my two cats, and that's perfect for me for the time being. Hopefully one day I can find the love for dogs I once had. I think the real moral of the story is to not move in with a guy who is open about having aggressive dogs.
The story took place when I was about 8 years old, so it's a bit blurry in some of the details. For context, I'm a female, and I used to live in a condo up in Montana, so I shared a backyard with all of my neighbors, and we were all very interactive with each other. Since this took place around December, there had been piles of snow sometimes reaching 5 foot tall next to our driveway from shoveling that I would use to sled down. Now, in our old neighborhood, most of the kids' ages were ranging from around 5 to 10, except one, whom in this story I'll call Robin, since it is close to his name, but for our privacy. Robin was 14 years old when this took place, so almost everyone was half his age. Robin was not out of the house much, but when he was, I noticed he was very aggressive to all of the kids. Like, he would actually literally body slam kids and even pick on them for being weak. I hadn't seen him much, as I last previously said, he wasn't out of the house much, so I hadn't really talked much with him. Robin was nice to me, but not as nice to the boys in our neighborhood. Because of the fact he was older, he basically saw himself as better than us, if that makes sense. More or less like the top dog. He used that against everything, and really, I kind of dreaded seeing him. But one night specifically, I was out later than usual working on building an igloo with all of the snow from the driveway. I was at the downspout trying to knock the ice off the gutters when I saw him coming up to me. I was a little annoyed since I was out at night just to have some alone time, but I brushed it off. Soon he came up to me striking up a conversation, and he showed me how to knock the ice off. I said thanks and grabbed my sled and showing him to my snow hill, but he was not very interested in what I had to say. I can't exactly remember how the conversation led off to this, but he had started talking about random things that he had done, such as kissing girls and other kind of sexual stuff, like all the things he had done in school bathrooms and with other people. I was weirded out, but really just kept sledding down the hill and listening. By that point, he had moved behind the small hill that I had been sledding down. He then started kind of pacing around, and he then said, "Hey, I have a question." But before I had a chance to reply, he then said, "Actually, never mind, it's too dirty." But for some reason, this didn't strike me as odd, which really makes me want to slap myself to this day. But I still asked him, "No, tell me." He kept this loop going for almost a minute, saying that he couldn't or that it was too dirty for me. Then he had broke. I wasn't expecting anything that bad, but then he said, "Okay, fine. I was gonna say, let's play a game of rock, paper, scissors, except that if I win, then we have to kiss. But if you win, then we don't have to unless you want to." I then froze. I was shocked, since he was literally twice my age. I sat there for what felt like 10 minutes, but was actually about 3 seconds. Luckily, I thought quick enough and said, "Okay, wait, hold on, I have to grab something." And I shot up and ran to my door. I then cracked it closed and sat there for about 10 seconds, not knowing what to do. I didn't feel safe outside anymore. I then went back out, and I told him that I had to go inside because my mom said it was too late, which was a lie. Surprisingly, he just said okay, and then we said our goodbyes. I went inside, and I went and sat near my mom, who was working on her computer. Now I have anxiety, which only made this worse. I thought that if I told my mom, then I would have gotten in trouble for asking him what he meant when he said all that. But then, after a while of sitting there, I realized that I should just tell her, since I can never even keep anything to myself, as I'm a loudmouth. I expected her to yell at me and get mad, but she really just turned to me with a concerned look and was very shocked. That was very relieving for me, since I was literally shaking in fear. In the next few days, I had to talk to some police officers about it. He moved a few months later, and I have no doubt that it's to get a fresh start and to get away from the problems. I can understand why this doesn't seem scary to others, but it's really scary as an 8-year-old with anxiety, and also with the fact that I was always so unsettled near him. His presence was very uncomfortable from the start. Now, I'm really sorry for the lack of detail, since this was quite a long time ago. But parents, listen to your child if they tell you something like this, and always be aware of who you're talking to. Thanks for listening. My story started in 2014, when we had to move out of our rented seafront flat that we liked a lot. I was 28 then. We got about 2 months' notice to find another place. We didn't have many options. We found a house which was converted into 3 flats. We shared a tiny hallway with our neighbor. The flat was newly decorated, but pretty much as soon as we moved in, we noticed that there were many things very wrong there. The back door's lock was broken. Because of this, the kitchen was full of bugs and slugs, and we reported it to the agency. A guy came out to fix the lock, and he asked me if I had met my new neighbor yet. I said no, I hadn't. He then said, "He's a very weird guy." Later on, I met him. Yeah, he looked weird. I couldn't tell if he was 30 or 60, but he was always very quiet and polite. One day, though, funny enough, it was April 1st, and we went home after work with my boyfriend. Our neighbor and his friend was just leaving the house. My friends were supposed to come over that evening. We had quickly cleaned the house, and once we finished, we sat down. Then, I heard a weird banging noise from the neighbor's flat. Someone was coming down the stairs, and it sounded like they had dropped a really heavy bag. But then I heard it again, and again. "They cannot be this clumsy," I thought. But I didn't think much of it. Soon after this, I saw my friends arriving through the window. I went to the main door to let them in, and I then saw blood everywhere. A bloody handprint on our door. I was shocked. I then told my boyfriend that there was blood everywhere.
"Close the door," he replied.
Then, I had heard my neighbor saying to me that I stabbed the woman who regularly visits me, in a very calm voice. I closed the door. The woman was laying in the middle of the road in front of the house, not moving at all. By this time, the ambulance and the police were at the scene too. They took my neighbor, closed down the house, and the whole street as well. We were then told that we weren't allowed to use the hallway, as it was a crime scene, so we couldn't leave the house for a while. I had noticed blood coming down from the drain pipe too at the backyard. God knows how. About 5 weeks later, the police were knocking on our door, asking if we saw our neighbor, as he had left the hospital, and they're very concerned for his safety, and they asked us to contact them immediately if we see him. The light in the hallway wasn't working for a while, so I asked my boyfriend to have a look at it, as I didn't want to bump into the neighbor in the dark. He went outside and took it apart. We later found out that it wasn't working because it was on the neighbor's electrical circuit, as his electricity was turned off. While we were in the hallway, unexpectedly, the neighbor opened his door to check what this noise was. We were shocked. "When did you come home?" we asked. "We didn't hear you coming in." "It's because I didn't use a key. So if you lock yourself out, just ask me. I can open the doors for you." I guess this was the moment when we were truly scared for our lives. He then explained that he came home because he feels completely normal and he felt like he shouldn't be in a mental hospital. He didn't want to kill that woman. He just stabbed her in her thigh because she provoked him. Keep in mind, the police never confirmed anything to us. They just said that it was close to a murder investigation. We went back to the flat, and we were too scared to even call the police, as it would have been pretty obvious that we reported him. Later that day, the police came back and took him, and they told us off in front of him because we didn't report him. We never saw the neighbor again after that. And to this day, I still have no idea what's going on with him. The other issues with the house became severe as well, so we moved out as soon as it was possible. We now refer to that house as the Horror House. This happened 9 years ago. I had just ended a 4-year relationship and had moved into an old building in downtown Paris. I had to start all over again from scratch. Well, I did the mistake to let my ex-girlfriend keep a lot of my furniture, kitchen cutlery, pans, coffee machine, etc. At the time, I had worked as a waiter, so I could only afford a 1-room apartment from a council estate building. It was really old and barely even clean, but at least I had a roof over my head. The first 2 weeks, nothing had happened, but quickly, I began to hear someone talking at night. It was kind of like mumblings. It basically said, "Just go and die already." When I looked into the door, Judah, I saw a scrawny shirtless guy smiling and scratching the door with his finger. This became a thing every 2 or 3 nights. He would come and threaten me through the door, or sing songs with a really childish voice. I thought about opening the door and asking him what he wanted, but I was afraid that he had a knife or something, and I couldn't see his hands while looking into the door, Judah. What really stunned me is that he acted totally normal whenever I stumbled upon him during the day, and he actually denied being the one to do this at night. I even got mad at him for it, but he seemed to genuinely not understand what the hell I was talking about. One day I came home with a girl that I'd met at a bar that I was working at. For some reason, she had left during the night, and I went back to sleep. The mumbling started again, only this time, it felt really close. I opened my eyes only to witness the scrawny neighbor now headbutting the wall and singing what sounded like a mix between religious chants and also a lullaby in slow motion. I was honestly totally paralyzed by the fear. I tried to communicate with him, but he was just grinning and he ended up exiting the apartment by himself. I decided I had enough and finally decided to call the police. They took him in all right, and he ended up getting put into a psych ward. Apparently, this guy had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, and he was put in a psychiatric hospital because of it. He wasn't supposed to live at his place anymore. He had apparently ran away from the hospital 2 months ago. He initially got sent into the psych ward after bashing a shovel into a postman's head, putting him into a coma. He did that for absolutely no reason at all. I never saw him again, and I moved out 2 years after that.